Well, Tom tells me that J.C. Webster sent a text in tonight. He's alive and well. Hasn't been on the air in a long, long time. Still out there trying to find Edna, his girlfriend, who took off. Jumped on a bike and out she went. But he's out there, those of you who are wondering. The person I'm wondering about is that weird guy named Oscar. Remember him? The devil worshiper? I don't know whatever happened to him. He's gone, too. Anyway, we will come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with final calls on Open Line Night. Okay, welcome back to Coast. We're going to go right back to the Open Line calls. I did want to give you an update. A lot of you have asked about my sister, who is fighting stage 4 brain cancer. And she, a couple days ago, underwent her second operation. And she's been on an experimental pill. And she's going the traditional route, but she did this experimental pill for about 6 months, and they had to remove a few more tumors, but they were, according to the doctor, very, very small. And he actually thinks that this new treatment, it might be working, and it's a tough road. Her daughter, my niece, is getting married on the first Friday of September. I'm going to take that day off. I'll probably have John Wells fill in for me and go out there and see her and go to that wedding. But keep her in your prayers, if you would. Let's go to the phones. Gary is our Skype line in Houston, Texas. Hi, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Yes, George. About a month ago, there was done, through the Panama Canal, they stopped a North Korean boat with a missile on it, or several, and it come out of Cuba, and it was during all this Trayvon Martin stuff, so they buried it. But it concerned me that, you know, what did they deliver to Cuba? Do we have do they have nuclear tips down there? Because there's no follow-up in the news. I wondered if you knew anything about it, because it's
I don't think they got down to Cuba. They got to it before it got there. And, you know, shades of 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis, here we go again, right? But you are absolutely correct. The Koreans, the North Koreans, were trying to smuggle in some kind of weaponry into Cuba. Now, they did not say they were nukes, but they did say that they were, missiles and telemetry. But they've been stopped. Who knows what else is out there? Way too close for comfort for me. Let's go to China Lake, California, west of the Rockies. Mike's with us. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Oh, hi, George. How you doing? God bless your sister. I know she'll make it through.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, yeah, I've got a couple of good stories for you. We mine up in Alaska, and we've been turned into amateur Sasquatch hunters, my brother and myself and our family. We've been up there 35 years, and the stories that we have are unbelievable. One of them, in 2006, I went up on an exploration. I went up for a couple of weeks just to explore some claims up on our on the side of our other gold claims there on the Koyukuk River.
Mm-hmm.
And our adopted, he's not really adopted, but we call him our adopted native son, Ryan. He's a big Alaska Native kid. Him and I were up there. We spent a couple of weeks testing on a couple of creeks, it was time to get out of there. The water was dropping, and up in the Arctic at the end of the summer, it stops raining, and the rivers really drop quick. Overnight, they could drop a foot. And anyway, we decided to get the heck out of there, and our boat ride couldn't make it downriver to pick us up because the boulders were showing now in the river, and the river was getting pretty shallow.
Okay. Boy, that's fast, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a deadly river. It's slow and fast, But you can't see the boulders below the boat, and when it drops, you can't get a prop boat down anyway. You can only have a special Alaskan jet boat that makes it. Anyway, so we packed our bags and we headed out, and it was my fault. I was a judgment call, and I left the cabin too late. Our cabin is across from our mines. And it was 5:30 in the afternoon, and in Alaska could fool you because the sun's still up, you know, at 5:30. And anyway, we packed our gear. We packed way too much gear, but we were worried because of the hike out. We thought we might have to spend the night on the mountain. anyway, we started hiking and hiking and hiking. We took the right limit of the river, which is, if you're going downriver, it's the right side. It's anyway, we took the right limit going out, and that was a mistake. We were into it about 1 hour to 2 hours, and we were hitting these trees on the side of the mountain that had been burned down 2 years previously. The birch trees were laying like pickup sticks on the side of the slope, and we were literally taking our backpacks and throwing them over the tops of these logs and then climbing up on top. Real dangerous. They were bent over, pressurized, on them.
They could have started to roll on you, too.
Oh, yeah, it was deadly, George. I'll never, ever walk out from that river again. It's easier to go across over the top of the mountain and down to the Alaskan pipeline than it is to go out this darn river. So we're hiking and hiking, and 4 hours later, we couldn't cross the river to the other shallow side because the cut bank was 10, 11 feet straight down, and the slope of the river went right into the cut bank of the river. So we basically had to stay on the slope. We went up, down, up, down. So coming back down off of the logs, back down to an area on the side of the river, it was like a beach sand. It was an inside passage I'd never been on. It was amazing, real beautiful. So Ryan and I, we finally get off the mountain. Our feet are sore, and we have a dog called Satch that the dog would not leave our feet. We couldn't figure out why this darn dog kept staying right at our feet. And we were firing off fireworks the whole way out. Mortars, which you can get in Alaska legal, they shoot like 300-400 feet up in the air, and bottle rockets. Well, it was so spooky, we started shooting these things off every 20 minutes because it was a pain in the butt to go into the backpack and pull these things out. But we did keep shooting them off because of the Sasquatch problems we had in the past up there. And Ryan, being a native, he was just suspicious of the whole area.
Sure, yeah.
So as we climb down off the slope, we start heading upriver out to the bridge, to the pipeline bridge there. We weren't even halfway yet. It's a 9-mile trek. And by golly, if I didn't look down, I was so tired. I look down, I see these footprints in the sand, in the gravel and the sand on the edge of the river there, and I could not believe it. It was almost like a perfect human footprint with the toes all skewed one way to the right. Let's see, right, left. I can't remember exactly which way they were skewed, but there were three footprints, and this darn dog, Satch, he would not leave my feet, and he came up, and he obliterated two, and I kind of pushed him away with my leg. I said, wait a second. I was so tired, though. I almost passed up these footprints. I went, wait a minute. I looked down. I saw these footprints, and this dog almost obliterated all of them, and I got to save one, and I pulled my Fuji camera out, and I thought I had three pictures left in it, but I got one really good print of this footprint. The other two were obliterated, but anyway, I couldn't believe it. I was so lucky to find this, you know, so happy to get this picture. I thought, man, this is rare.
How many toes on that thing?
It was five toes.
Five
toes, and you could see they were so skewed. The toes were so skewed over to one side that it just looked like an old footprint, but it wasn't big. It was as big as a normal. It was like a young Yeti. I mean, a young Sasquatch.
But it didn't look human.
No, it looked scary looking. It looked old. And there were no, like on a bear, you'll see claw marks. There'll be a space at the top of the toe, and you'll see a claw mark pointing into the ground at the top of each toe. And that's how you can tell it's a black bear.
Okay.
Or a bear. And it wasn't a bear. So anyway, we got our stuff together, and I was pretty happy about the photo. We kept walking. I walked 50 feet up along the bank of the river, and here I see a tunnel, like a cave, built in right into the bank of the river. And I went, you know, it wasn't so big at the outside, and it was kind of made up of branches and muskeg and tundra. And so I said, Ryan, check it out. He goes, wait a minute, Mike, don't go in there. So I said, no, I got to go in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I went in, and I took my backpack off because it was a tight fit to get in, and I went in, and I looked up, and I could see daylight. It was like the roof was thatched with roots.
Huh.
Yeah, so I kept going in. I walked in. I got in about, I would say, 7 feet
Was it much bigger inside than it looked on the outside?
Yes, yes. It expanded as you went in, and it started smelling so bad. It stunk so weird and so bad. I told Ryan, I go, man, Ryan, this is starting to stink in here, and he ordered me out of there.
He knew. He knew what was going on.
Oh, he's a very Christian, spiritual native Alaska, very good kid, Ryan is. And they all are up there. They're just amazing people. But anyway, he forced me out of there. I didn't want to come out, but all of a sudden after he started talking, I said, yeah, I'm out of here. I backed my way out of there because straight ahead it was pitch black. The thatch roof turned into darkness. And I had my Colt 45 packed in my backpack, and that's all we had. I didn't have a shotgun, which I should have had. But so anyway, I backed out of there. And I couldn't believe it. It was awesome. And I didn't have any photos left on my throwaway camera. I took the last one on the footprint. And so anyway, Ryan says, man, let's get going. And we tried to save time by cutting behind the river bars instead of walking the actual river and the bend of the river. We kind of cut through the forest, right? And so Ryan, he rolled up some cigarettes. And as we walked away, he stopped to light a cigarette. And he came up close to the front of me to kind of block the breeze to light a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And my back was to the cave. And now the cave was actually, if you turned around and looked up the slope of the river, up the bank, it was kind of like a tube, you know, kind of sticking out. And I wasn't looking at it. My back was to it, and we were fully loaded with our gear. And Ryan kind of bent over and lit a cigarette up, and he looked up over my shoulder. And I saw the fear of death in his eyes.
Don't tell me one of those came out of that cave.
Check this out, George. He goes, Mike, do not turn around. I said, Ryan, what is wrong? He said, that thing's got his head stuck up out of the roof of the top of the cave. It was looking at us. And he says, Mike, we cannot go behind the river anymore. We have to stay on the river. So anyway, that was that story, George. That was pretty
amazing.
Scary.
Describe what the face looked like.
He said it was cone-shaped and a rusty brown cone-shaped head that stuck his head right up through the roof of that cave, through the thatched roof.
And how tall was that?
Oh, that had to be, I would say, 7 feet.
So he could have been 8-9 feet tall.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're positive we have a family up there, George, of Sasquatch, but we got out of there. I didn't get out. I got halfway up the river to Grubstake Bench Mine Camp with some friends there. We couldn't make it all the way out. We spent the night there, and they gave us a ride out on the boat. It's too rugged. But
could you find that spot again, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I lived on that river. I've been up on that river for 35 years.
Okay, hold on for a second, because I want to get your information, and I want to get it to Rettman Mullis and the Bigfoot folks. I think they'd be very interested in an expedition out that way with you. So, Tom, let's get the information on that, if you would. That's amazing. Let's go to Alex in Miami. Hey, Alex, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, welcome. I've been listening to you guys since 1998.
That's a long time, Alex.
That's a long time. My good friend, and I'm sorry about your sister. She's definitely in our prayers, and she's going to make it out.
She's a fighter, I'll tell you that.
Great. George, I'm in the aviation industry. I work for an airline here, and I have a bachelor's in aeronautical engineering. I just want to clear up, there is no way that the modern aircraft that we have flying right now can make a so-called chemtrail. The engine that used to do that was a ramjet, and the last airplane to have a ramjet was a 737-200 series, which is no longer being used by the airlines. Everything is high bypass fan engines, and they don't leave trails. So even if 1% of the airline industry in the U.S. is still using ramjets, there is no way that they'll fly, you know, so much throughout the U.S. So you can take that out of the equation. There are no passenger planes with ramjet engines that cause that vapor trail.
So they're doing something else, aren't they?
It's definitely something else. There, I am 99.9 positive that there are no ramjets left flying over the U.S. First of all, they're illegal due to the noise. And second, they've just been phased out. Everything now is high-bypass fan engines, which have no vapor whatsoever. It's just basic air being compressed and shut out the
back
of that.
That's great information.
Nothing mixed.
Good to know that. I did not know that.
Well, that's why I call. I've been trying to call for a while to tell you that. The second thing is something that worries me extremely much. If you were to report right now anything related to a UFO, if you're a pilot, a mechanic, a regular person, if you call up some agency, anyone, the Army, the Air Force, the local airport, or the FAA office, and you want to report something, believe it or not, George, they are sending you to a private company. They will give you this number, which is to a company called Bigelow Aerospace. He is so into this government that I do not, I have asked, I have friends in the FAA really high up there, and they do not know how this gentleman, which is privately owned by one person, has gotten the contract to debrief anybody within the world with a UFO story, a UFO sighting, or anything related to an aircraft that does not belong in our skies.
It's a good thought.
If you can look this up, if you can find out, I mean, this dude's got his hands on everything. There is nothing going on with UFOs that do not have Bigelow Aerospace attached to it.
Well, you know, we know Robert Bigelow. George Knapp knows him very, very well. I'll ask George that. I think he will tell you probably not, but you never know. Let's go to Boulder, Colorado. David's with us on the Wild Card Line. David, go ahead.
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm sorry to hear about your sister.
Oh, thank you, David.
I really feel for you. We'll pray for you.
Thank you. She's been fighting this
for
over a year.
We'll pray for her.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm sorry. And congratulations on your contract.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I'm calling about I think his name was Davenport?
Peter Davenport last night?
Yes, yes.
From the National UFO Reporting Center.
Yeah. I'm the UFO evaluator guy on YouTube and Facebook. And
oh, okay.
We just started it doesn't matter. I have a, there's a NASA Fireball Network. They have these cameras, these nodes all over the world. And I have the video, and he's not kidding. There was something following the International Space Station, and I'm wondering what do I do? How do I send that? So what do I do?
UFOcenter.com.
UFOcenter.com. Oh, great! Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You take those emails. And if you're in Boulder, you should check in with Tommy. You should be a member of our audience at our Beyond Belief television taping. I would love to have you out there, especially if we're doing any UFO-related program there. Indeed. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. I'll tell you what's in store for the rest of the week, and we'll take your final open line phone calls. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Simple as that. Need information on the television show Beyond Belief? Just click hosts, and then the TV button opens up, and you can look at it for 10 days free. Okay, this weekend, we've got John B. Wells on Saturday and Sunday for you with some fascinating programs, and then I'll be back on Monday with a split show talking about fracking, the dangers of that, and then also our very special guest Robert Schock joins us as we're going to talk about his trips to Giza in Egypt and some of the incredible things he has discovered. Tuesday, of course, we're talking about the wondrous Superman. Larry Tye joins us about the American legend. And then on Wednesday, Dean Radin, brand new work about psychic abilities. Barry Eaton on Thursday as we talk a little bit about the afterlife. Whitley Strieber joins me on Friday for a few hours before we come back for open lines. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take final calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Open lines here. Let's go right to the phones. Al is truck driving somewhere in South Dakota. Hey, Al, welcome to the show.
Howdy. Hey, sad to hear about your sister there. Hope she does well.
Thank you, Al.
Been a long time listener since so early 1990s. I started listening to Art Bell and, Ian Punnett was the hometown boy there because I'm from Mid-Minnesota.
Does
he have his own show now? I was digging around on the dial out in California and I thought I heard him talking. Might have been an old rerun, but I got a ghost story for you. It's my father committed suicide back in 1994. My mother kind of suspected that he had maybe prostate cancer. He was traveling down to Rochester Mayo Clinic for quite a while, and I guess after the deed was done, we kind of thought about everything, and he was kind of planning it for a while, and a lot of really interesting facets to the story I'm going to tell you, but he had gone to visit brothers and sisters and nephews leading up into the time when he committed suicide, and it kind of worked out that the night before he committed suicide, which was on a Sunday, Saturday night, there was a family that my father had grown up with in central Minnesota. They're farmer boys. They had like 12 sons. In fact, their father outlived the mother. He was a pretty healthy old man. He was 90 years old. He'd have the boys bring him blocked wood, and he'd split it up for firewood for wintertime. That was his exercise. And the night they had the fish fry, my father's friend Ernie had a dream that night after the party that my father was going to be missing. And Sunday morning, my mom went to church and came home, and pickup was there. His wallet was on the table with the keys, but he wasn't anywhere to be found. And
oh, boy.
He wasn't around all day, and in the evening, he called one of my sisters, and it ended up being a three-day. They had the Minnesota Highway Patrol was out there with a helicopter and heat-seeking the infrared, and the Stearns County Mounted Patrol was out there searching, and they couldn't find him. And on Tuesday of that week, the same guy that had the dream about him being missing, he had another dream that they would find him in a closet. And I guess Ernie's been having these dreams for years, and he was telling his son about it, and they came out to the farm and stood in the middle of the yard and kind of looked around, and they decided that maybe he was in the pig barn. It was an old farrowing barn that we had built, and when the market kind of bottomed out, my dad quit doing the pigs, and what he had done, and he had crawled into a crawl space where we had a hole cut so he could go up and blow the insulation up in the attic, and the sheriff's department looked up there, and it never dawned on them that the ladder shouldn't be up in the crawl space. It should be on the bottom so you can get into the crawl space.
Right.
And So they stood in the middle of the yard, and Ernie said, well, let's go look there. And the sheriff's department said, well, we looked there already, but, you know, you're welcome to look again. And that's where they had found him. And
old Ernie had the ability, didn't he?
Pardon me?
Old Ernie had the ability.
He did, yes. And it's, I guess he's been having those dreams, you know, his whole life. But there's another interesting part about it is that it was kind of in the paper, and there was a preacher somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, and he had a golden retriever that he had thought was a pretty good bloodhound, even though it was a golden retriever, and he brought it out because they were going out with the bloodhounds every day. And one of the things that he did before he did the deed was he walked the whole farm from one corner to the other because it was his parents' farm when he was growing up, and that golden retriever was the only dog out of all the well-trained bloodhounds that the sheriff's department came out with in the Iowa Patrol, and that dog went right to the door of the pig barn, and
there he was.
Yeah. And they, you know, it was the only dog. But we have a poltergeist now on the farm because of that.
he doesn't want to leave, does he?
No, and it's kind of interesting because that particular building, the door just doesn't want to stay closed. I fixed the latch a number of times, and I ended up getting a big plank, a heavy old plank, and putting it up against the door. And even the plank falls over or even moves over, and I go out on the road for 3-4 weeks and come home, and the door is open.
I got to tell you, Al, first, sorry for your loss, but he's still there. He's still hanging around. Tommy, you got a text for us? Let's get it in here.
Yeah, I sure do. Ken from Alabama says, hey, George, great show tonight. Do you believe crop circles are made by ETs? I can't decide what I think.
I have no idea where what makes them or where they're from, whether they're from other dimensions. And I would say that a great percentage are made by man, but you've got that small group that aren't. And I have no idea where they come
from. Didn't you meet a lady in Arkansas that's an expert on this?
Yeah, we're going to get her on the
program. Yeah, I'm talking to her next week.
Yeah, she's very good at that.
Well, let's see what happens.
Okay, very good. Let's take a few more calls here. We've got Frank in Alaska on the wild card line. Frank, go ahead.
George, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and it's a pleasure to hear that Art's going to get back on that horse.
Yep, good for him, isn't it?
And yes, it is. And it'll be like talking or hearing from an old friend. I'm sorry to hear about your sister. I was operated for cancer about 10 days ago, but I think it'll all work out, and it's all in the Lord's hands. But that's not what I wanted to call. I wanted to talk about Benghazi and the potential terrorist threat that we all face, and I think that people are willfully ignorant to not wanting to recognize the type of enemy that we have against us. These people are not going to quit. They're not going to go away, and they're going to keep coming. And we're locked in our comfort zone.
And there's too many of them.
Oh, they're not going to give up. These people have been at war for 1,500 years, and they're not going to quit. It's not the most Muslims. That's not the point. It only takes a dedicated small cadre of people that are zealots willing to die for their cause. And then people have to wake up. Oh, by the way, if you ever get a chance, there's a book. What is it called? Survival After the Next Shoe Falls, that it'll scare the pants off of people, and they won't want to read it because it'll make them uncomfortable. But I think that's the author's purpose, to finally shake people awake, like when you're training. Remember the old thing about the horse? The guy said, well, I never beat the animals. And the first thing he does is get the 2x4 and whack it up on the side of the head and says, well, you said you didn't beat a horse. I don't. That's just to get their attention. And I think that's the purpose of this book. But I think people should read it and wake up.
Well, you're right. We'll track the guy down, too. I mean, look, terrorism is real. But the other side of the coin is there are groups out there who, and I'm not talking about terrorists, but there are groups out there who constantly want this thing stirred up. They want this pot stirred up so they can continue to do all their things, as the military-industrial complex does all the time. So you need to be careful with all of that. By the way, a couple people have emailed over the night, and they said, how do you become a Coast Insider? Well, as I've said, it's simply very easy. You just go to coasttocoastam.com and click the Coast Insiders button. It's all over the place. It's 15 cents a day, and participate in one incredible ride here on Coast to Coast AM. This may be one of those nights where it's time to chuckle a little bit. A guy was going into work. He was late for a meeting. He witnessed something very ominous, and he called it into his boss, and it went straight to an answering machine. So you're going to hear that, and then, of course, UFO Phil standing by to do whatever he does. Now, listen to this. I think probably one of the funniest little episodes I've ever heard.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman she's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella. She's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one. It's a little woman. Looks like Mother Goose. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up, and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black purse is still all pieces of it. okay, he's up on the car. The little woman's just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. the little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's talking to him as he's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
I gotta tell you, I've heard this thing over and over again. It's one of the funniest tapes I've heard in a long time. Every once in a while, we post it on the website. If you want to just grab that audio and keep it and kind of cheer you up on any kind of a day, simple as that. We're going to wrap things up in a moment. Once again, our best and congratulations to Art Bell, who will be joining the airwaves in September on satellite radio, and he's all excited about that. And he's got his website up and running, artbell.com again. And so welcome back to the airwaves, Babe Ruth, and enjoy the ride because it's your spaceship.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm coast to coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Audisor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and the father, Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safer.